Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Comedy Cellar Show here on Sirius XM Channel 99, the Comedy Channel. We're here with Krista Montella, of course, and I'm going to turn it over to my co-host, Mr. Dan Natterman, to introduce our guest of honor. Go ahead, Dan.
Well, thank you, Noam. This is a guest that I've been trying to book now for a while. He's a very, very famous comedian in his native France, and he's now trying to take over America. Gad Elmaleh, thank you for coming to the show.
Thanks for having me. Bonsoir. How are you?
Bonsoir.
Okay. Bonsoir. Everybody knows what that means.
Yes.
That means good evening. Exactly.
And good appetite.
We have a very good level of languages here tonight. Yeah.
So Gad, as you may know, he's doing a show in New York at Joe's Pub from now until June.
Yes.
Called Oh My Gad.
I didn't know that. That's wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah, he's doing it, I think, twice a week.
No, four nights a week. Yeah, until June. Exactly.
Okay, and this is... Now, why did you decide... This is a question I know you've been asked 80 billion times.
Yeah, but my answer is better now.
Okay.
Okay, I've been practicing.
Why have you... Because you have everything there is to have in France. You have the cars, the
girls.
The girls.
The money.
Everything.
Everything.
And all this.
I'm starting over.
I've been... By the way, this is no joke. I mean, we've had people, French people come here that pretend to be famous. They all say they're famous. Every French person that comes here say they're famous.
They're not.
This guy's legit. You can't walk down the street with this dude.
But you did the same thing when you came to France.
I
pretended to be very famous in America. Oh, yeah. Come on.
Yeah, well, yes. And that's why I said you can't believe
it. At the cellar, you're... At the cellar, you're like one of the...
I'm famous in this room.
He's a big fish in a small pond.
By the way, let me tell you something. I'm very happy to be sitting here at this table because I know this table is very, very important table. This table is... When you sit at this table, I mean, like, you're in the family, right?
Yes.
Comedians, that's the corner. Normally, when you begin, you look at them from there, right? Here, this is the... Comment tu dis? Sacré.
It's sacred.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm sitting here. But just for the show, then they're going to kick me out.
No. You're always welcome here.
All right, good. So why am I doing this in English? To be really honest with you, I needed something very exciting, you know? And I feel exactly like I felt 20 years ago when I started stand-up in France, obviously in France. It's new. Everything is new. You know, I'm nervous. I don't know if the jokes are going to work. The language is really a challenge. So I just want to start over. I'm not saying I have everything, as you mentioned, in France, but... I want to be excited.
Can I ask you a question about that? Is it okay, Dan? Can I ask a question?
Of course.
Yes.
So, because it reminded me of something that I heard once where they asked Paul McCartney, why does he keep making records? You have everything, money. He says, I don't understand the question. He says, I'm a musician. That's what I do. I make music. Why would they think that I would stop doing this? And then, and I would imagine that when you achieve a certain level of fame, the idea that you can get that energy of when you started again, the challenge again is got to be. It's something to wake up for.
Yeah, the only difference between me and Paul McCartney is that I had to learn English.
Didn't he write in French?
Sont des mots qui vont très bien ensemble, my Michel. You're right, but it's just like, you know, when I come here and I see those very famous comedians. They come and they test, they try out, like, they try new material. Mm-hmm. Louis C.K. or Chris Rock or Jerry Seinfeld, when they come to the cellar, you can say the same thing. What's matter? What's important? It's the work, you know? It's not because you're famous that you don't try this anymore and you don't challenge yourself and you don't work out and you don't start over. I'm starting over.
By the way, he's not just a famous comic. He's the fourth highest paid actor, I believe.
Yes.
I read that in France.
Fourth? Why fourth? That's
what I read.
Yeah.
Need a new agent.
And he has an estimated net worth.
Dan.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
I'm the one who's estimating, by the way.
And then we talk about yours and how much they give you here every night.
Is there also something special about making it in America as opposed to any place else in the world?
Totally.
Why? Explain that.
Because, you know, we know that as a cliche, as an idea, American dream, but this is what I'm trying to do right now. I've been dreaming of doing something in English and in America since I was a kid. Even when I moved, because I live in France, but I'm not French. I was born in Morocco. I've been living in France for 20 years, but I was born and raised in Morocco. And my dream was America, always. Even when I was a kid, it was America.
Can you explain that for Americans? I don't think Americans quite understand how America is viewed by the rest of the world in that sense.
That's why I think it's very funny when I hear that some people want to make America great again, because for us it's already great.
It's still great.
But also by America, people mean like New York, LA, and Chicago. Like no one's dreaming of going to North Dakota
Maybe not a dream, but I've been to those places. I've been to those places and I performed in Austin, Texas, and Dallas, and you know, a lot of places. And this is really challenging.
Have you been to Dallas?
Oh yeah, I did my show in Dallas, and it was not easy. But it
and you
was,
noticed you know, differences and
oh a lot,
yeah.
So in France, somehow America is simultaneously, correct me if I'm wrong,
hated.
Considered to be extremely unsophisticated in a certain way, like the ugly American type, you know, like, and at the same time, kind of the gold standard
For comedy. We are the gold standard, and nobody can dispute it.
Well, for the arts in many ways.
No, not for the arts. Comedy.
For the popular. Well, what about not for cinema?
Stand up in New York and movies in Hollywood.
And what about music or popular music?
Okay.
Well, they love our music too.
I thought you were talking about ours, like the painters and the writers.
Pop. I don't mean painting. I know nothing about painting.
No, I know.
I meant like the stuff that
they love our music too. When I was in France the first time, I went to do a radio show there, and who's sitting beside me but Adam Levine from Maroon 5. You can actually see that on YouTube, by the way. Me and Adam Levine on the radio together.
I saw that. But
the point is that they can't get enough American music, American comedy, and so it's a love hate. And
yeah, totally. Because there's this fascination, and also this American. They're not really comment tu dis la finesse. They don't have the
finesse.
It's a paradox.
That's an English word. I didn't know they had that in France.
That's very funny, because sometimes that happens with Americans. I talk about someone, like I say, oh, I'm friends. I was with Marion Cotillard in Paris, and they say, oh, I don't know who she is. And then I say, yeah, you know that movie La Vie en Rose? Oh, you mean Marion Cotillard? And he's correcting me, and he's talking about a French name, and that's Americans. They want to tell you how you should say something, even in French.
that is American.
Gad, by the way, has a show tonight. I'm amazed at his calmness, because I've done comedy in French, as you know, and as our listeners know. And I'm so nervous. And this is why I haven't gone to France and explored that option for myself, because the level of anxiety. But Gad, you have a show tonight at 9.
I have a show, but to tell you the truth, this is kind of
a warm up.
But you know what happens? I don't know if this happens to you when you talk in French, but when I speak in English for more than 30 minutes, my brain is so tired. My brain gets tired. I can do shows in France for 2 hours, jumping, screaming, do the jokes, everything. I'm never tired. As soon as I work the English stuff more than 30, 40 minutes, my brain is going crazy.
And that doesn't get better as you spend more time in the States?
But he's hanging out with French people all the time.
No, what do you mean? I'm hanging out with you. And with
Harrison Greenbaum.
Also.
He will be here later.
Yeah, and other great comedians.
Do you change your show, like your act at all, to do it in English? Is there a lot of elements that are changed?
Yeah, I didn't translate my French show. I wanted to do it when I first came here, but then I realized that, no, I had to write stuff about me coming to America, my perspective on Americans. This is interesting, you know. I have a few jokes that I've translated to English because they are universal and they can be translated, but otherwise, no. People want to know about you.
Your imitation of Nicolas Sarkozy, great as it is, would not kill here.
No.
He does an imitation of Nicolas Sarkozy. I'm telling you, you think you're in the room with Nicolas Sarkozy. I mean, if you knew who he was.
Yeah, and for... Oh, that's a very... If you knew who he was and if we were not on radio, this is a lot of conditions.
You know who he is.
Yeah, I know.
But you don't
is.
Know what he sounds like.
No.
Yeah.
All right, so it doesn't matter. He does an imitation of me, by the way, Gad, is speaking French. I don't know if I want to put you on the spot, but...
You do an imitation of Dan?
En passant, je m'appelle Dan Nademan. Je vais faire un petit quelque chose en français. Et là, déjà, les gens qui disent que c'est pas la peine. Alors, je suis ici pour vous faire Dan Nademan. J'étais mon neveu hier. J'étais avec mon neveu. Alors, elle m'a dit que je, pourquoi tu n'as pas trouvé l'âme sœur de ta vie. Alors,
British accent.
Do you get any joy, whatever your misgivings about what you've accomplished in your life,
yeah.
The most famous comedian in France is doing a Dan Natterman imitation on the radio. Don't you understand
Dan
that
Natterman.
That's
Dan
something?
Natterman. Dan Natterman. Dan Natterman.
You are somebody.
Hey. Hey, Dan Natterman. This is like, hey. Hey. I gotta say, how come Uncle Dan, you're not married? Married, I can't, for God's sake. Oh, no. My mom thinks you're gay. I think those are just jokes, yeah. There's a guy from another.
Dan is multi-talented. He's an actor. He's also a musician, Noam, which I know. Noam's a musician, too.
Oh, I know that.
I didn't know
you
were a musician.
I know.
Did you see? I sent you a video of him singing Isn't She Lovely with some chick named Irma. Who's that?
Oh, she's great. Singer. French singer.
Is she
singer.
A French singer? Okay.
Yeah, we did that video. What do you play?
I play guitar and mandolin and
wow, just like Steve Martin.
And I play the oud.
Oud.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah,
you?
Yeah. This wow. Is there a picture? This man here was I'm pointing to a picture. Was
Anwar
in my father's. His name was Ali Hafid. He was Moroccan.
Oh,
he played the dumbek and the oud, and he was like our best, my father's wow. Best friend growing up, and he was a genius. And I learned.
He's Moroccan or
it.
Iranian?
Moroccan.
Moroccan. Okay. Mm-hmm. Do you know Anwar Ibrahim? No.
No, I don't. Okay. I don't know. I'm not familiar with the except like the
oud,
you know,
is a great instrument. You know how to play oud?
Yeah.
Wow. So yeah. One day we should hang out and I want to listen to the oud. I play darbuka, the little
yeah,
like
yeah.
The dumbak. You
yeah,
know?
Yeah.
And
Noam has a music club around the corner, which I'm sure you'd be welcome to do a guest.
Well, he's friendly. Set. He's friendly with George, and George okay. Is you know.
Well, you know, do you really in your secret heart of hearts? Because I think this is the case with a lot of comics.
You know what secret heart of?
What? Heart of hearts.
Okay.
Au fond de toi-même.
Oh, I didn't know this one.
Yeah, your heart of hearts.
Heart of hearts.
Yeah, heart of hearts.
Heart of hearts.
Do you want to be a musician in some on some level more than
oh,
a
yeah.
Comedian?
Oh, yeah. I wanted to be a musician. I wanted to be a jazz. Do you say jazz or jazz?
Jazz.
Mm. Jazz piano pianist. This is what I wanted. I play piano. This is what I do. This is, but I'm not gifted and didn't work enough. So that's it. I gave up. But there's nothing that makes me more happy than listening to jazz, watching and listening people playing music. This is my thing, really. But
I think a lot of comedians are. I have a you know, Gad. I don't know if you know this, but I carry a pretty mean tune. Although Noam swears I have no rhythm whatsoever.
I've never seen anything like it. Then you have no rhythm.
I think you exaggerate my lack of rhythm.
No.
That's carry fun. A tune really? How? Singing.
Singing. Yes.
What do you mean?
I mean, I sing in the show.
It's surprising because they say that every comedian have this sense of rhythm and melody.
Well, Noam is. I was clapping. He was singing some song, and I'm clapping, and Noam just starts barking at me. Like an angry cur dog.
You know, we play here acoustically sometimes, and we have like a tambourine or shaker, various percussion
instruments.
Apparently,
I can't clap.
And Dan is, and I do it with pain, but the guys are looking at me. He's one of the only people I've ever seen who picks up a tambourine, and it's so disruptive. I say, put it down. Like, it's like, and I believe, I believe, like, it's really like, you know, you can't overcome it. But I believe that it is extreme self-consciousness.
Yeah, exactly.
Because rhythm is very primitive in a way, and you have to surrender yourself to rhythm.
You told me I had no rhythm. I'm telling you
the
whole
evening.
You don't
display any sense of rhythm.
Well, I'm telling you, I was so despondent that you probably thought, what does Dan care if he doesn't have rhythm? He's a comic. But I actually felt terrible.
Well, then that's making me feel bad, Dan. I'll be sure to lie to you, but I really
I'll lie to you next time.
What about the cajon? You know this instrument?
Yeah, that's a you
sit
on the balls.
That. Yeah, no,
cajon is balls.
No. Forget about the balls. You sit on it. It's like a box, and you tap this box with your hands.
You do percussion, but you also
you know
do
what?
Piano.
You just gave me a great idea. Could we sit on stools when we play with it? I should have them make a stool with a cajon as the seat.
So that when
you could actually just at any time.
Oh, you can take a stool and around surround it.
Somehow just build it into a stool so when you're sitting on it, you could just like this at any time.
Yeah. Good idea, yeah.
Yeah, that would be great.
Yeah. And also a saxophone on the side, right? And you just go like
one man.
And a flute up your ass.
And a flute down and then
Gad, I also wanted to mention, Gad is so famous in France, by the way, that when he comes to America to play, he can fill a room up with French people that just happen to be in town.
that's true. We sold out Beacon Theater many times just with not French people, but expats, French speakers. When I say French speakers, it's, you know, Africans, North Africans, Switzerland. I don't know, Belgium, and French, obviously.
And your show, now that you're doing it at Joe's Pub, which you do, you can go to joespub.com, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
And to buy tickets. But how many people in the audience are French fans, and how many are new American fans?
In the beginning, I would say it was 90 expats and 10 American. Now I think we're getting almost half-half. And it's great. And my goal is to have 100% American crowd.
You attribute that to word of mouth, people enjoying it and telling their friends?
Yeah, the shows and, you know, being on TV. We sold out because I went to those talk shows, and it helped a lot, you know. And also to me faire découvrir, how do you say this?
To get your exposure.
Yeah, to the American crowd. Because I do something that I never do in France. After my show, I hang out and I talk to the audience. I don't do this in France because it's arenas. But here, it's great. Small room, I hang out like here, and I speak to Americans. And they say, oh, I heard you on NPR. That's why I came. Wow, really? And
nice.
You think, you know? So maybe the next one is going to say that he
heard
that show on Sirius.
But now, why aren't you? I hope so. I hope we can.
How many people do you think?
Well, there could be.
We have no idea.
You know,
there's this one guy uptown.
This one guy with a tinfoil hat.
Yeah, with the flute.
With the flute.
Well, why aren't you coming to the? I know you played here years ago, and I think you did quite well, if memory serves.
I don't know. Not that well. I think it's a very.
Well, you didn't blow the place up. Blow the place up. But,
not
but
yet.
You did pretty well. And this is, you know, an American I think this would be a good place for you to, you know.
I would love, but this is the place that gets me really nervous. I get very nervous when I come here. Yeah, very nervous. It's like an exam, you know.
Is that because of the peers that are here watching you?
This and a lot of great comedians doing so well, used to it very easy. They do it every night for years. But I want to do it, you know. So I did it. I went to a few clubs. I want to come back and do it. You know, it's just a question of confiance.
Confidence.
Yeah, you know.
Do get half off on kebabs if you perform.
Kefta.
That would be the only reason, you know. Like that's the reason why I did the comedians in cars getting coffee.
For the coffee.
You know? For the breakfast. Nice breakfast.
Right, of course.
And the coffee, you know.
You and Jerry are very close friends.
Yeah.
To the extent that Jerry has close friends, he seems, you know, our sense of him. Do you know Jerry at all?
No.
I mean,
I mean, he
chooses his friends.
You know, he's not as warm.
No, he has two. One uptown, one downtown.
Yeah, okay.
I live downtown.
All right. So he had you on Comedians in Cars.
Yes.
And Woody Allen put you in his movie.
Yes.
Is your goal to conquer? You say you want to challenge and that's in and of itself enough reason to come here. But what are your career goals in the United States?
I would like to do my stand-up show, my 1 hour in English. You know, I do a special maybe for TV for in 1 year or 2 year from now, and working very hard on it. This is my goal. First French comedian on American TV with a 1 hour special. This is my goal.
And what about potentially a sitcom? This could be, because I'm thinking he could be like the new Ricky Ricardo.
No, we're thinking about a show, maybe. We're thinking with some writers and producers about a show. My story, basically. You know, a French guy comes to New York, hang out here with the comedians and the everyday life and perspective on this guy. We're thinking about maybe doing something like that.
Gad, if you do that...
Yeah.
If you do not write a part for Dan Natterman,
we're gonna be in trouble.
I will lose respect.
You see, he's
respect.
A great guy.
I will call Joe's Pub.
No, he's a great guy because he didn't say if you do that then you don't shoot here in the cellar.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't need that. That's the confidence. You see.
Well, I proposed.
I was just not my nature.
I proposed to him the other day potentially as a writer. Although he didn't necessarily leap on that.
Do you want me to remind you all the things that I've proposed you and you didn't respond?
Oh,
well, but I told you, I'm a threesome with your wife. I don't do that. But I'm kidding. He's never been married. But
Dan is a gem, and I do not understand why somebody is not. Picked this gem up, polished it off a little bit,
and shown
it. Well,
he just said because Dan constantly turns down anything.
No,
exactly.
I didn't turn down anything. He mentioned a possibility. You don't want to talk about this?
No. Okay, go ahead.
But he talked about working together in France. I have to get an hour together before we can do anything.
My problem
so
with
that,
Dan.
That's
my
why
problem with Dan. I'm sorry to interrupt, but my problem with Dan is that he is.
Well, everybody's
so,
got one.
He is so Ashkenaz, and I am so Sephardic. My problem. I get excited, enthusiasm. I play the tambourine when there's a good news. I sing. We cook. I don't know, chicken. But this guy, you can tell him, oh, I'm doing the beacon. Well, good. Man, good for you. Yeah. I see you tomorrow. Right. What the fuck is going on? I want to show some enthusiasm.
I love that he attributes as an Ashkenazi characteristic.
Well, I don't know. I mean, here in America, it's mostly Ashkenazi. For our listeners that don't know, these are the two types of Jew. The Ashkenazi and the Sephardic.
Like, distaste.
The Sephardics are more from North Africa and Middle East.
The Sephardics are like, they're like, you know, they're more Arabic.
Yeah, the laid-back, friendly people who know how to have a good time.
Good time, right?
The Ashkenazi are the uptight people who don't know how to show any emotion.
Yeah, anxiety.
With no rhythm. That's what we are.
No rhythm.
Well, I want to...
quite funny, though. We're quite funny. We're known
to
be funny.
I do want to... I think you... really, we're extra harsh on me with regard to the rhythm. I was clapping in tune. I don't understand.
I'll have to videotape it.
Making his way to the stage. You recognize him from his appearances on Letterman. Give it up for Dan Natterman.
Thank you so much. And another hand for Mr. Artie Fuqua. Artie Fuqua, that's him right over there. And let him know that you appreciate him. How are you guys doing in the front row? Pardon? Oh, good, he's saying. And that's your wife, sir, girlfriend?
My girlfriend.
Where are you two from? You're not Americans.
Norway.
So welcome from Norway. And you understanding everything I'm saying? I'm not talking too fast. The people speak, how many languages do you speak?
Five.
You know, you go to Europe, but don't be that impressed. That's what they do in Europe. They speak different languages. And it's not. We're not dumb in America. We just don't, we don't need to speak other languages, so we don't, it doesn't... I got a friend, Jurgen, speaks four languages. He lives in Germany. He said to me, Dan, how come you Americans don't learn other languages? So I'm like, well, probably the same reason people that can see don't learn Braille. That's probably why. And I got news for you. Braille would be more practical. Because you might go blind one day, right? That could happen. But you're not going to go Mexican, chances are. Very unlikely. We got Norway. Anybody else from someplace that's... That's interesting. Where? Pardon? Israel.
France.
How are the French people over here?
Oui, oui.
Pardon?
Oui, oui.
Are you? You don't sound it. No French person would say oui, oui.
Baguette.
Pardon?
Baguette.
You're not from France.
No, I am.
Are you really? Prove it.
Bonjour.
That doesn't prove anything.
With
Tevek qui? Tevek Tamuf?
Ouais.
C'est qui? C'est elle?
C'est elle.
Elle est bonne.
Elle est bonne.
Okay, alright, he's French, alright. Not fucking around. French people can't speak English properly.
Je sais.
Are you really French?
Oui.
That accent doesn't seem French to me.
Oh, tu veux que je parle. Do you want me to speak like that? With the
French? Yeah, I would prefer that you speak like. I would prefer that you speak like that. French people speak English. French people speak English, they don't do it right because they're translating it directly from their language into our language. You can't translate a language word for word. But because you know, French people say shit like, I've been here since 5 minutes. Or I will see you when I will be there, which we would say in America. And you know what French people say too? They say like, I'm coming in America next week. Instead of coming to America, they'll say coming in America. They get the preposition confused. Because one time I was in Paris, somebody said to me, when did you come in France? I said, I haven't yet, to be honest. I said, maybe when I get to the hotel, if they have Wi-Fi. I think what an odd people they are. Ask if I've just blown a load in their country. And I don't even know you. You know? Bizarre. Did you guys watch the Winter Olympics this year?
Yeah.
Sochi, Russia. You know, the Summer Olympics is always a place you've heard of. Like Rome or London, right? The Winter Olympics, it's like, who's got a mountain? They're just looking for any place with a mountain. Yeah, Sochi, Russia. You got a mountain?
I guess we have mountain, but rebel forces are threatening to attack city. All right, but you have a mountain, though, right? We need that mountain. I mean, we don't, you know, that our main sport in the United States is football and baseball and basketball. Those are all. We don't care about bobsledding and biathlon. The Super Bowl this year, that's our biggest sporting event. I was on a plane this year during the Super Bowl. This is how important the Super Bowl is. I was on a plane during the Super Bowl, and the pilot would announce the score. That's how important the Super Bowl is, that the pilot is announcing the score. Now, I don't know if other countries have sporting events that are that important. Like if you're on Iberia Airlines or Spain, if the pilot comes on and says, Señores, señores, this is your captain speaking. The bull won the fight. The final score, bull alive. A bullfighter is not looking good. I will keep you posted before landing on his condition. You guys are great. That's it for me. Back to your host, Artie Fuqua, and more show after these words. Here he is now, everybody. Thank you, Artie.
Dan Natterman! Dan Natterman!
You familiar with I Love Lucy?
Of course.
Yeah, so you like Ricky Ricardo. Here you are, this guy whose English is approximative.
And where is he from?
He was from Cuba.
Okay.
Desi Arnaz. And he was a musician, uh-huh. And he had a sitcom. So I'm thinking that could be you. You could be like the funny French guy,
yeah,
with the wife that, you know, always makes fun of the way you talk.
Yeah.
With the quirky next-door neighbor who's
right.
always trying to,
with the
with the guy, always trying to get on the show.
That would be great. That would be great. What part should I give him?
To give me?
Yeah.
Well, you know, any part that's a nice meaty part.
You want a girlfriend on the
No, I don't care about that.
Oh, you don't care? Okay.
No,
right.
Look, you do what you want to do. He's already Gad's been very good to me. He put me in his documentary that he did in France.
Yeah.
And so I wouldn't say I'm famous in France, but every now and again somebody says, "Hey, you were in the Gad
of
documentary."
Course. So listen, so show some.
I've not gotten laid from it yet, but I I almost did.
But why limit that to the documentary, Dan? It's not a
Well, that's a good one.
You didn't come in Paris, you mean?
I didn't come in France.
Come in France. That's his joke.
That's my joke.
Has everyone knows his joke.
You have people that you meet in life who are. Almost everybody is falls into a category. So then you have a guy like Dan Natterman, who is really unique. You see him one time, and you will remember that guy.
Oh yeah,
so for better or worse.
So you just give him some good lines to read, and he is going to be great in anything because giving something distinction is a huge challenge in any artistic enterprise.
Yeah.
You know,
music. I think you should be in a Woody Allen movie.
Absolutely,
well, you would be perfect.
If you talk to Woody,
you wouldn't even have to play.
I don't even give a fuck.
No,
Dan, either this man, I mean, is interested in you, or he wants to go on the radio.
Well, Harrison, a few more minutes. Harrison Greenbaum is here.
So you just said fuck. Are we allowed to say fuck on the radio?
Yeah, so this is Saturday Radio.
Get it out of your system, guys.
But fuck does not come naturally to Gad. He's not at that level in English. If somebody punches him in the stomach, he doesn't say fuck. He says putain. That's how you know.
No, I do the bleep.
He goes bleep. Gad is very fun for the whole family in France, and I don't say that. I say that with all due respect. In other words,
I like that.
You don't
like
rely.
That too.
Yeah, he doesn't. He's not dirty at all.
No, and because I talk about things that I know. So sex, I have no experience.
he's a virgin, believe it or not.
Yeah, virgin. No, observationnel. How you say this?
Observational. Every time you ask me for a word in English, it's the same word. It just pronounces different.
You see this?
I don't mind people who are dirty at all, of course. But I have the most respect for the comedians who can do it clean.
Well,
I mean, that's,
I would say
seems
I have
more challenging.
I have respect for somebody who's funny, whether they're dirty or clean. But I do think being funny clean is an extra hurdle. But I certainly don't condemn. I have more than a few, you know, dirty jokes.
Is French comedy in general more clean than American?
No. You have okay. Both. You have specialists, right? You have guys who know how to do it. You know.
Uh-huh.
And but you don't have any dirty.
I have a lot of innuendo.
What is this innuendo?
Innuendo means I'm implying things. I'm insinuating.
Yeah.
You can't get through an American comedy act without someone cursing. Usually.
Yeah, you can.
So I'm just. I mean, yeah, if you have super clean comics, but the average
Tom
act,
Papa, Tom Papa doesn't. Jerry Seinfeld, they're not at all. No.
Jerry's very clean.
Very clean.
But
super clean.
But Bill Cosby was clean, we thought, but
well, he was on stage. Well, so now,
but he was, you know.
And you're continuing that tradition in English, or in English, are you gonna let yourself go a little bit and maybe explore some areas that you don't explore in French?
This is a good question, because when you perform in another language, you feel more free. Even if you're not only the language, your mind, you know, your vision, your perspective become you to ose. How you say to ose?
To dare.
To dare. You dare. You go to some places you don't go in your original mother tongue.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Is it?
I'm getting tired with the language.
Well, you
guys.
Know, when I speak French, I feel like another person. Like there's like a barrier, you know, because it's. There's a weird thing. Like, I can talk to chicks in French. It's almost like I'm texting them because it's not as direct. So if I meet a woman and talking French, I'm more at ease saying things a little more adventurous, shall we say.
I don't know what it's like to be extremely famous, but I imagine there is a psychology associated with it, and it probably wears you down over time. But is there something to the fact that's also liberating about being somewhere where you're not famous? Like when you're famous, I imagine you can't even risk saying something about a certain, because you don't know it'll be in the papers tomorrow.
Totally agree.
You can kind of like get lulled into, oh yeah, I'm in America, let me, and that's, you know, that feels good.
Yeah,
right?
He's got spies everywhere. There's French people all over the place.
No, you know what? It's very interesting, because in the beginning, some French journalists would come to my show in America and say, oh, he said that about France. Oh, he said that about. But then, I mean, they forgot. They don't. But it's true what you're saying. You go, you dare, you don't care. All right, and no, it's not a big deal if I say something about. I had very bad jokes that bombed, totally bombed. Nobody talks about it. I just don't do it the day after. That's it. But in France, whoa, this is a whole. You know, they want to talk about it, and the press, and the TV, and the journal. So here, yeah, I'm free.
Like, speaking of fame, I mean, in your act, you talk about how you come to America, and in France, you're not anonymous. If you come to America, you're anonymous. It's great, because you can just walk the streets. But then after a few days, it's starting to piss you off. No one knows who I am.
Yeah.
Now, how much of that joke is real, and how much of it is just to be funny? I mean, do you really get pissed off?
I think it's a funny joke for the French, not for the Americans. They don't know what I'm talking about.
But
the funny thing is, when I am with, like, the story that I tell in my show is true, that I was in a bar and I went to talk to a very beautiful American girl in L.A. and she basically m'a envoyé chier. How do you say this?
Told you to fuck off.
No, almost.
All right,
and then
the
a group of French guys, you know, walked in the bar and they asked me for pictures and blah, blah, and autographs. And she came back to me.
Of course.
She was like, who the fuck are you?
Changed her tune.
And, you know, and then, you know, the end of the story.
You kicked her to the curb.
But he also has a funny joke about how he can, when he's in America, he takes the opportunity to buy, to go to the drugstore. Because, you know, in France, you can't go to the drugstore.
Oh, yeah,
buy things that people will say.
Yeah, I don't do this joke anymore.
Gad El-Malah has diarrhea.
I should do this joke. No, I don't do it anymore. You know, I've worked on this, and I realized that all the jokes that are related to the fame, and it's fun for the French audience, but the Americans, they don't relate. They don't understand what he's saying. So
Ray Romano had some kind of joke about trying to buy porn in a hotel when he was famous, and he couldn't buy it as Ray Romano. Yeah. I don't remember the joke. It's similar.
Yeah,
thing.
It's because.
Well, how do famous people get a prescription? I don't know if you're on prescription medication, but how do famous people get their antidepressants or their Valtrex or their?
Let me tell you something. Yeah. One day in Paris, I was sick. I went to the pharmacy and I got some antibiotic. Antibiotic.
Antibiotic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Antibiotic. Antibiotic.
Yeah.
And so he put everything in the bag. I said, okay, how much I want to pay? And the guy said, no, this is on me. This is the worst present.
You don't want
this
to hear that.
I don't want to hear that. Let me pay my shit because I don't want to get this offered. No, I don't want.
We have with us, by the way, just stopped by, Harrison Greenbaum, longtime Comedy Cellar alumni, and I invited you because I know that you and Gad have a special relationship.
Yeah, we live together.
Very special.
Yeah, we
cuddle.
The same room, same right?
Oh yeah,
same room, same apartment.
We alternate top and bottom.
Yeah, exactly.
Now I don't believe it.
No,
I know that Harris is not alternating.
No, Harrison is. You know, Harrison is a great comedian. We met when I was shooting the documentary, like Dan, And since then, he, you know, we work together. We try to find things. He helps me to find some jokes. He opens for me at Joe's Pub and other places. Voila.
Yeah.
Voila.
Now, Gad, I don't know if you... have you noticed anything interesting about Harrison?
Oh, many things I noticed about Harrison. He's a magician.
He seems quite European, I'd say.
Yeah. You know, like...
but he's enthusiastic, even though he's Ashkenaz, you know?
Yeah.
You are not. That's my problem, you know? He's smiling, he's happy.
La joie de vivre. He has a joie de vivre.
He has the joie de vivre.
That's a French phrase I know.
There's no joie de vivre.
No.
Not a man.
It's joie de mort.
Joie de mort.
Oh.
Absolutely.
Well, there's joie de sleep.
So can I just ask a question?
I enjoy it.
Because I can't help it. I want to ask it. I know it's cliche and trite, but I never really heard it answered. To my satisfaction, is Jerry Lewis actually some kind of hero in France? You know, that's what
he was, of course. Why? Yes, of course, hero. He is the most popular comedic actor of all time for French people.
Because he's not here.
What do you mean he's not here?
He's very famous
not
here.
No, he's not. His popularity did not continue, yeah, and he's considered to be kind of
cheesy.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's because it's very simple to understand that. It's all about the physicality and the crazy things that he used to do. So that's why Mr. Bean also was super famous in France, you know, because they had all the gesture and the facial things, and this is why, you know.
And Americans don't like that anymore, is that it?
I don't know. I don't want to speak for them.
Well, also, they're speaking in English, but if the French audience is watching it, they can get what he's saying better because all the physicality.
This is why you guys know Louis de Funès. Louis de Funès.
Well, no, they don't know Louis de Funès.
What do you mean? Americans?
Nobody knows him.
Don't know anything about other...
Very little, very little.
No. Ask them one French actor. They don't know.
Bridget Bardot.
Bridget Bardot.
Bridget Bardot.
Maurice Chevalier.
Jean Reno.
And then he plays Amelie.
Audrey Tautou. By the way,
Audrey Tautou.
Gad had a love scene with her in a movie. Audrey Tautou.
Oh yeah, there you go.
Sophie Marceau.
Did you have a love scene with her?
Sophie Marceau.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Marion Cotillard.
Wait. What kind of love scene? Like
love scene?
Naked?
Yeah.
How does that work? Are you actually naked?
No. No, unfortunately, I would love it. I would have loved, but no. There's something. They strap your.
Genital. I took a risk. I took a chance. Did it come out?
Hey, Jeanne Atou. That's so cute. Like
it's a penis.
Le petit pénis. Le petit pénis. Welcome to the show. It's a very fine show. No, they put something, you know,
And is it arousing to shoot a love scene?
I would imagine it's pretty uncomfortable.
There's a whole depends. Film I mean, crew. Depends. You know, I was supposed to kiss Sophie Marceau, and I was pretending to a trip on the stairs. You know, to redo it again and again because it was so. It's beautiful. It's a great job, right? You have Sophie Marceau in your arms, and you have to kiss her 7, 8, 9 times. This is a great job, and you get paid for this.
You get paid for that, huh?
Yeah.
There's a great movie. I didn't see the movie he's referring to, but Hors de Prix, or Priceless. Is the American title, with him and Audrey Tautou plays a prostitute Gad, well, the character of Gad in the movie is trying to, like, afford her, but he can't, and it's and comedy ensues, and Audrey Tautou looks phenomenal and very sexy in this movie.
I want to just click. Clarify something in my mind because it made me think what Harrison just said. So if Harrison is correct that the reason is because of the language, does that mean that the physical gesturing comedy by French comedians is less popular in France, or is this just a genre that they still... By the way, I just want to make it clear, I adore that brand of comedy. Like, we still play Chaplin here.
I know. Yeah.
Because we regard him, and my father too, as the...
And you see? No sound, right?
No sound. So, no. Although, you know that stand-up comedians look down their nose at comedy that's not observational. Like, literally, they don't respect...
You know this expression, look down their nose?
No, but I understand.
They're arrogant, arrogant about it. They don't respect physical comedy. Even when it's mixed in with the pathos and the genius of Chaplin and the storyline, they still don't respect.
Pathos at the guy.
pathos is probably a similar word in French, no?
I don't even.
It's not even an English word. It's a Latin word.
I don't even know what it means in English. But he's been. We've been here a half hour. So Gad, your English is starting to. Probably now you're getting fatigued.
No, I'm going to switch to French. That's it.
Okay.
Can I get another French album?
No, it's a warm up. It's a warm up for my show tonight. Are you opening the show tonight?
Yeah.
So maybe you're going to do a longer set.
I opened for Gad the other. It's very tough because they're all there. You know, they're there for him. Well, maybe I just stink. But I had a tough time the other night.
You just don't seem to be happy to be there. And then they look at you and they say, why? I mean,
couldn't be happy.
They give us this guy we don't know. It's an opener. We're going to be nice. So at least he should be nice with us.
I was perfectly nice.
Apparently not, Dan.
Well, no, Matthew.
But they're there because they're still bringing the audience in. And there's a lot of commotion.
So Dan, when you hear him say so, and he's being obviously pretty forthright, pretty blunt with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What goes through your head? Your immediate action?
I think he's out of his mind.
Wait. Your immediate reaction is to be defensive. Obviously, that's human. But then at some point, you have to say to yourself, "Wait a second. He's my friend. He's a fan of mine. He couldn't be telling me this unless he really believed it. Not an opinion I can dismiss because he's obviously accomplished. Maybe I should. Maybe he's right.
No, but he's not in this particular case. No, he. For
I'm
some
a
reason,
little
he,
bit exaggerating.
He misunderstands me. For some reason, he perceives me
him and all the members of the audience. Apparently,
no, because it's a tough room to open. Because they're still filing in.
Yeah, but Harrison could maybe tell us about it. Sometimes it's very hard, right?
Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's easy. It depends on the ratio of English speakers to non-English speakers.
The more English speakers you have, and the more
the easier. Because Boston felt like there were a lot more native English speakers.
Yeah.
Where sometimes there's an audience where I say, who here speaks English as a first language? You get three hands.
Wow.
So that's going to be a harder one because they're French speakers first and English speakers second.
What I'm getting at is that God has identified something in Dan, which we all recognize as Dan Aderman fans, and he refuses to look it in the eye.
What exactly?
If Dan does it again, you should wear a scarf that will enamor you with the crowd.
All right. Well, that could be.
Or a beret.
Well, what exactly are you referring to that he is hit upon?
I think that when you get, and I don't want to dominate anybody, cut in, I think that when you are not totally in your comfort zone, which you is a very, very sweet spot, narrow sweet spot, that you get a little flustered and it comes across maybe as being aloof or not friendly or whatever, which is not actually, you're not feeling unfriendly, it's just nerves apparently. But you do lose something. I've seen it in you, and I don't know how you can overcome it. But it has to at some point start with acknowledging it, if you could ever overcome it. And some people, it's human. You may not be able
to
overcome it.
That's another show we just started right now, right? Yeah. It's another show. La psychologie.
Psychology, you've done.
But I think it's
right. Analysis.
I'm trying to come up with the French word for sourpuss.
No, it's not sourpuss. But go ahead, God. What were you going to say? No.
I think just it's very interesting to hear that, and I think only real friends can talk about it.
Absolutely.
And in private.
On the radio with all the listeners.
Exactly.
This is a particularly tough time for me because we are at the beginning of 2016, and the beginning of the year is always particularly difficult for me because I have such expectations going into the new year, like this is going to be my year. And then after a few weeks, I'm like, this is just going to be as shitty as last year. You know what I mean? You put a lot of pressure on yourself at the beginning of the year. And so January tends to be a difficult month for me.
What about April?
April's usually pretty good. April things start to get better around
July. Jack season?
So I'll see you. Yeah.
Book them in April.
No, and also I'm in a very angsty state right now in general.
Because?
Because I'm just, because I'm always in an angst-ridden state, but, I'm getting older and I'm starting to panic about my future.
Tu dois apprendre à accepter ce qu'on te donne.
On me donne quoi exactement?
L'amour.
L'amour, j'ai pas d'amour.
On te donne l'amitié.
Oui, j'ai l'amitié. Je,
you should translate.
He said you should accept what you have and you have friendship.
Oh, there you go.
It's a nice sentiment, Dan.
Yeah, very nice.
Yeah, although I just got a W-9 from another comedy club. I won't mention its name. But, and they put as the income they paid me this year over $1 million.
Oh, my God.
So I'm in the middle of trying to get them to correct that.
You're a tax shelter.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly.
I'm like, what? You didn't pay me They barely paid me $1,000, let alone $1.1 million.
Someone.
By the way, don't let him fool you. He's not that happy a guy.
Why are you lashing out at him?
I'm just saying. It's not an insult.
No, no.
Oh, my God.
Like many great people, like many great artists.
No, this happened to me, what Harrison just said, happened to me in France, but the opposite.
Oh, no. Well, yeah. That's good, though.
They were supposed to give me 1 million. They gave me 1,000.
Maybe they were planning on sending you 1,000 checks.
I was mad.
Right.
No, but Dan, I mean, maybe you prefer to talk about it in private, but you know, when you come to the room, the green room, I'm happy to see you, but if you're nervous, that's something. But sometimes I want to say, I'm happy to see you. And when I touch him, he gets very embarrassed, you know, anxious when I touch him, because Sephardic people from Morocco, they like to touch, so he doesn't like to get. Then I give him a nice hug, little kiss, you know.
But the French, have a thing, they kiss guys in France. I don't know if you know.
And they kiss twice. They do the cheek to cheek.
Yeah.
Have you seen that YouTube viral video of that fat black woman talking on the news about the thing? Like I don't know if you've seen it. It's like, it's a horrible woman.
Uh-huh.
And I just feel like when you're judging Ashkenazi Jews by Dan Natterman, I don't think it's fair to I mean, to use him as the poster boy for the traits of Ashkenazi.
Well,
you can hug me, and I don't even know you very well. Hug away. I don't mind being hugged. But Dan,
I'm
a
big hugger.
I put my hand on Dan, like, and you can feel him tense immediately. He doesn't like
I'm
it.
I'm sure.
Is this something from childhood?
But you know what? When you shake.
No, I mean, nothing. I mean, yeah, my. Sure, my uncle used to fuck me in the ass, but other than that, I don't, no.
No, I don't think it's connected to that, no.
It's Ashkenaz.
Yeah.
God, let me ask you this question.
Yes.
Gad, not God.
Gad. Gad is, but in French, God is something else.
What
God
is it?
Means a dildo.
Ah.
Yeah.
Well, that's a big difference.
Yeah. No, some people believe in dildo.
One you use to fuck in the ass, and the other is God.
Why fuck in the ass?
This is... you know the joke. I broke my teeth. This is for Dan again, but you can get real perspective on
this
it.
This is his show. This is all about you today. What's wrong?
But this is kind of... It will be about you, too. The question will be an insight into both of you.
Yeah, okay.
If you were never to become famous as you are now, if you were only to achieve Dan Natterman level success in France. Yeah. Do you think you'd be happier, more unhappy? do you?
Okay, to be honest with
you,
if I had the power, the comedic power, the writings, and the strong jokes that he has, if I had the same, I would be the happiest man in the
world.
Look
at that.
Even without the fame.
Without the fame. I don't care.
I believe you.
He's sharp, he's very smart, brilliant, great jokes. Always the same jokes, but but very strong. Very strong.
Well, no, I do have some new jokes.
But I would prefer to have more important jokes. How do you say this?
Less good jokes.
Less good jokes. And be, you know, fun, happy, eating kebab and hanging out.
Because my problem with Dan is that he dismisses everything unless he's super famous.
Not at all. Not at all.
It doesn't matter. He can become a household name and he would still be miserable.
It has nothing to do with the fame. I just want to make enough money.
Okay, now let me give it. No,
I
want to give you this example.
Enough money
when we first met, yeah. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
This is the debate. This is the presidential. No, when we first met, we were talking blah, blah, blah. And then I Googled him and I saw him on Letterman. He was doing a set. He was doing a bit on Letterman. Letterman for us, for everyone, is a monument. It's crazy. So I said to Dan, wow, I saw you on Letterman. And he said, I said,
same suit every time.
Don't, ne m'enlève pas mon plaisir à moi.
Don't harsh my mellow.
No,
don't piss on my parade.
Yeah, I mean, it's my pleasure. I was happy to see you there. It's like when you do a good set and I say, that was great. They say, oh no, I don't know. Okay, bye-bye. What? It's like if you have sex with a girl and she said, that was great.
That's never happened.
But what's that like?
Is that
in your act?
And I would go,
fantasy.
No, I don't want to get too much psychology. Because that's not why we're here. I guess we're always here for that.
Let's talk about Harrison and his sexual preference.
Yeah, very, very.
You don't have any more on Dan?
No, I just want to, in my own defense, all I really want is to have enough money that I don't have to do certain gigs that I really don't like doing, like going to comedy clubs on the road.
I have an idea, but I'm not sure you're going to accept. What about you sell me all your crazy jokes for a big amount of money.
I'll do it.
And then you go on vacation, you have fun, you hang out.
You take the whole act. I'll give you the act. I'll give you my act.
And the accent.
You give me.
I'll give you the whole act. I'll give you and I'll throw in.
It comes with the accent.
Does it come with the voice?
I'll throw in.
But only for his jokes. Like the guy would be talking normally like this. Yeah, was there that? How big is my income? So what about this? You would make a lot of money.
I give you my act in English.
Yeah.
Okay. You get the. You get the act. You get the can opener.
What?
And a set of steak knives.
Go ahead. What do you
want to say? $2 million.
Because sometimes he helps me. He gives me jokes. He's a great writer, but he doesn't give me the best jokes. You know,
think he holds back?
Yeah, of course.
Is that true, Dan?
No, it's not true.
Harrison is giving the best. He's doing his best. He's happy when I'm doing good.
It's all about Harrison.
Yeah, it's... No, I mean, what about this? You get a lot of money, you go on vacation with a girl, you don't, you know, every day and the salary and this, you spend the three most beautiful months of your life.
No, I would only do it, you want my act, my whole act?
No, like, give me like 10 jokes of your act.
Yeah, but if it's my act, that these are my good jokes, I need a lot of money, I need like retirement money.
Yeah.
$1 million. $2 million.
No, you said $1 million.
Yeah. I'm at €1 million.
I give you €1 million.
Euro.
Unless if you prove me that you're going to make $1 million if you don't sell that to me.
That's a Sephardic talking.
That's an interesting deal.
Okay. I don't have that proof.
Oh, okay. Your mother can maybe tell me.
Okay, I don't know what he means.
Harrison.
So do you tell your jokes about the sexual ambiguity and everything?
I do the whole act. I mean, I have a chunk now about France and sort of me connecting to the French audience as an American. So, but otherwise the same.
For the people who don't know Harrison, Harrison is a great comedian. Went to Harvard, by the way. But he appears, I don't know if you can say things like this anymore, but he appears to be homosexual to somebody who, you know...
To the naked eye.
To the naked eye.
To the what?
Better than saying with a microscope. That's how he...
Oh,
he's only gay under a microscope. We're like, what?
And honestly, to be honest, if you had a gun to my head, I would have to say...
I brought lady friends to this table.
I don't buy it. I believe he's gay. As a matter of fact...
Seriously?
Absolutely. I know that Harrison's gay, and I'm pretty sure my kids... are mine. That's how confident I am.
And I'm pretty sure Harrison is not my son.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Harrison is not my son.
You can't split the difference at bi even?
Because full on
gay.
I don't, full on, or whatever, I'm not sure.
Those are different.
I'm not sure what bi means.
Bi would mean I'd be into guys and girls.
I'll give you, at least, I think sexual contact with a man is in your repertoire, and I will not believe that it's not. Repertoire is a French word. I can't believe
that.
The reason I split hairs on it is the bi gay thing is bi would suggest, like, gay would suggest I have zero desire to have sex with women ever.
Right.
Bi would say I have both. So I think when you say gay, you're implying that I have no sexual desire for women.
So are you copying to bi right now?
I'm not, but I'm saying gay thing.
It sounds an awful lot like you're admitting to bi.
No, but gay is way easier to demolish than bi. Because it's different proofs, right?
Well, thank you for helping me with my case. And okay, bi. I'm sure Harrison is bi. Now what do you got?
Different proofs.
No, but that's at least easier.
All right. I think you walked into a trap there with that.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
At least we were agreeing that I'm attracted to women. The question is if I'm also attracted to men now. Which is a separate question than if I'm attracted to one or the other. That's why I split hairs on it.
Would you shut up? Are you attracted to men or not?
I'm not.
I lie. Go ahead.
I mean, nice to be here, guys. It's nice to be on stage. I love being on stage. I did a lot of musical theater when I was in high school and college, so my nickname was Faggot. It was good times. If you're still laughing, you're perpetuating the hate crime, so good work, everybody. People think I'm gay. All right, good reaction. It's weird, right? Because some people think you're gay. There's no proving that you're straight, right? Like, you know what I'm talking about, sweater, right? Like, if you walked in on me and I was just making out with a dude, don't get excited, but if I was just making out with a dude, you'd walk in and be like, he is definitely gay. And that's reasonable. But you walk in on me, I'm making out with a woman, you'd be like, he's fooling himself. And that's... Not that it doesn't have its advantages, though, you know what I mean? Like, nobody asked me to donate blood, so that's good. HIV joke. High five, everybody. We did it. We did it. Actually, V is the Roman numeral 4 or 5, so HIV is a high five if you pronounce it correctly. It's an ancient languages joke, everybody. This comedy train is going express. I am. I'm straight, I think. I don't know. Let's go with it. I don't know. I've never had sex with a man, so I don't know, you know? Like, maybe I'd like it, you know? Maybe I'd love it. I didn't mean to look evil at times I said that. But you know the saying, right? The dick fits. It's not a saying. It always does.
You use that in your act.
Yeah, oh yeah.
That's so. Why I feel it's. I have a green light to talk
and
about.
And what makes you think I'm gay?
Well, nobody, I don't think that you're gay. We never said
you
that.
You think everyone is gay. So what makes you think I'm gay?
I don't think. Why are you saying this? I don't think. I
just.
You could be gay.
Now you're trapped.
No, but I don't know. Because I don't believe that.
He looks like Jerry. Just the eyes like this. No? Yeah.
Something. You look like Paul Newman.
Oh, really?
With the eyes, yeah.
With this, I look like Eddie Murphy.
I feel like this personality type exists in nature throughout cultures, and it's representative of whatever it is. I mean, I didn't make the rules. I'm not, you know, I'm not God, Gad, but that's the way it is.
I'm no God, Gad. I like it.
Was there a question in there?
Well, I'm throwing a statement. I'm throwing the subject open to anybody who wants to address it. Or we can talk about something else.
I would like to
hear,
like...
I feel like Mark Normand had the best... We were on a different podcast, and he said, the reason I know Harrison's not gay is because if he was gay, he would do it because it would move his career forward faster.
Oh,
that.
Oh, wow.
That is a good
right?
point.
Like, it would be an advantage to be gay.
Right. And Jewish.
And Jewish.
The Jew, not so much.
Oh, really?
Not in comedy, I feel like. Too many Jews in comedy. It doesn't get you ahead. Nobody's like, France, oh, you got to book this guy. He's a Jew.
In France, the comics that I've met are overwhelmingly... Muslim Arab, is that correct?
No, or in large I would percentage? Say not only Muslim Arabs. I would say North African Jewish and Muslims. But in the 80s, most of them were Algerians, Tunisians, and not a lot of Moroccans. Algerian, Tunisians, Muslims, and Jewish people. Michel Boujna and Smaïn and all those guys are from North Africa.
But who was that first guy?
Michel Boujna.
Oh, he's good. Yeah.
You don't know him.
See, that's interesting, though. Is that because they were sort of outsiders, so they had a better perspective?
So. I think that's immigrants. Typical of comedians in general.
Right, because in America, the Jews were the outsiders, and that's why
we have very few Arab comedians, although there are some.
No, you have some.
We have Ahmed.
Mazrobrani.
Maj is actually
he's Persian,
but he is Muslim, I believe.
Yeah,
Dean Abdallah.
Dean was really Christian.
Well,
Dean was Italian when I met him, and then after 9/11, all of a sudden he said, "Well, now I'm going to be Muslim because this is more interesting."
So, right. So we're almost out of time. I saw your Seinfeld thing, and I for some reason it sticks in my mind that you said to Jerry something like, you know, whenever you meet another comedian, no matter where in the world it is, there's a connection between comedians. And I also remember he kind of, I guess it's the editing, he didn't address it, he didn't answer it, just kind of let it hang there and moved on.
Larry Miller has a similar quote, which is that we're all brothers in arms.
But I was interested in that. What is it that you feel your connection with a
comedian? When you say this, I think about musicians also. It's the same connection. It's very strong, more than actors, more than... I think it's similar to musicians. It's something that we feel very strong. I mean, real comedians who observe, who do like analyze life, and really look at the world with the microscope. We're connected. We don't need. There's a very funny story with Jerry. First time we met, he was in Cannes at the festival. He walked in a room. He knew that he was gonna meet with me first time. And we were like 12 people. So he walked in the room, and I swear I'm not making that up or something. He pointed at me and said, "You're the funny guy." I said, "What?" I said, you Googled me or something before. I said, no. I said, how do you know? I'm the comedian. There was like agents, publicists, actors. He said, you're the funny man. Oh, yeah. Yeah,
that reminds me of a story. I was on Conan with 50 Cent, and I walked into a room full of black people, and I said, which one's 50? I didn't know which one. I had no idea.
You really said that?
I didn't know which one of 50 was.
Oh, you said that. I thought you said yeah. They said that.
So it's the opposite of what you're saying.
Yeah, it's the opposite. Yeah. But it reminded
but
you.
But it reminded me of it. When I was just starting out, somebody was like a friend of Larry Miller, who's an awesome comic, and somehow it got... Basically, I got an email saying, Larry, we'd be happy to talk to you. Here's his cell phone number. He's going to be driving on the road for like 45 minutes to an hour, so if you call him, he can talk to you while he's on the road. So I give him a call. He had no idea who I was. And he just started talking. At one point, I was just like, why are you talking? Like, why would you be willing to talk to me? You don't know who I am. And he said, we're brothers in arms. Like, we're all on, you know.
And he was just giving you advice about comedy?
Yeah, he let me ask him any question I want.
He's quite a political conservative. Did you know that?
Yeah, but the whole point is that we were talking, but it's about comedy.
I know, which is cool.
I know, but I'm okay with that. You usually don't like that.
So, listen. So, Gad has to wrap it up.
Yeah, and I'm going to Joe's Pub now.
How long are you playing there?
Until June.
So let's go, Dan. Yes. Let's all go one night. I would love to see that show.
That'd be great.
Yeah. We'll all go and then
I'll get tickets. We'll go.
We'll get you tickets.
No.
You get me a spot here.
Well, I don't. You do, Noam will give you a spot whenever you want.
I want to ask you, and you ask Noam.
Noam, can he have a spot?
But don't tell him I asked you.
Noam, Gad asked me for a spot.
I don't know where the joke in this is, but we would be honored to have you. We'd be honored to have you perform here. Anytime you want.
And you can sing here and play the balalaika, whatever that thing is you're smacking
on. We should hang out. Yeah, we should do the cajon and the percussion and the
oud.
I would love that.
When we have dinner.
Yeah, Gad's a great musician as well.
We play here on Friday nights sometimes, but I don't bring my oud, but maybe I will be right here in the Olive Tree. And I also play in the underground.
Right in front of the screen.
We have a band in the underground, but we played acoustically, like very informal, which I kind of prefer, just here under the...
So I bring the cajon, I bring the darabuka, and I play with you guys.
That would be so much fun. That would be so much fun. That'd be great.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Harris's dad plays harmonica, and he sat in with us one time.
Yeah, that was an awesome night.
Oh, that's awesome.
And then a couple weeks later...
Somebody told me, Harrison, you played the flute. No, I'm just kidding. That's a skin flute.
A couple weeks later, Dave Chappelle brought in Stevie Wonder's harmonica player, who I think is he French? He's a black guy, but I think he's French. Anyways, amazing.
We have black people in France.
No, but I think he's an amazing harmonica player.
You know what French people call black people? Is black. They say, est-ce que tu vois le black? They use our word black.
What do Ashkenazi call them?
I don't know what they're saying.
No, very interesting because we have some words in France that are like English words and they don't exist here. For example, if you were going to do an interview with a journalist on the phone, in French, we call this a phoner.
We call it too.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that's it. So this is totally ruining my experience.
I mean, I've never heard that phrase.
Has he learned nothing about comedy, Harrison?
Shut up, Harrison.
Anyway, you can follow Gad at
Boner. What about what is a boner?
That's an erection.
Harrison knows, Harrison knows that one.
With a journalist.
Yeah. With a journalist.
Oh, you have a boner with Miss...
Not the phoner.
So
that's used phone to mean a goof.
I'm going
to
let you do the sign-off, Dan. He's got to go.
All right. First of all, you can follow Gad at Gad Amal on Twitter.
Yeah, on Twitter and Instagram.
GADELMALEH.
Yeah, this is very hard.
Instagram and at Joe's, go to joespub.com, is it?
Yes.
For tickets and showtimes. And thank you for coming, Gad.
Thanks a lot. Noam, I would like to thank you guys because it gave me a great opportunity to have a real conversation with my friend Dan Natterman.
I can only talk on radio.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
At Harrison Greenbelt.
At Harrison Comedy.
At Harrison Comedy. Bye.